Right, so we'll this will be the last day, I think, of Hurricane Sandy shailas, and then we'll finally move beyond Hurricane Sandy. I think maybe tomorrow, if I haven't yet done it, we'll discuss whether a person is allowed to eat turkey in honor of Thanksgiving coming up. But okay, I want to do a potpourri of different shailas that I got over Hurricane Sandy today. Now we're not going to focus on any single one. A number of people asked me after their houses flooded whether they're allowed to make brachos in their house, because there's sewage that was filling their basement and their house smelled very, very bad. So the Shulchan Aruch Aruch Haim Simen Sadi Sivcha Vav says, Kol Makom Shein Korim Bo Kriya Shema Im Mispalim Bo, and anywhere that you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to daven, K'shem Shem Archikin Mitzoa, Umei Raglayim, V'Reach Ra, Uminameis, Umiriyas Ha'er, V'Lekriya Shema, Kach Marchikin L'Tvila, you have to not daven in a place that has any of these things. And Mishabur over there in Sukkot Pei says, and Huadin the Talmud Torah, the Kol Devrei Kedusha. You're not allowed to learn, not allowed to daven, not allowed to have any Devarim Shabbatusha, no brachos, said in a place that has any of these things. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Simnayim Vav, Sif Dalib, Tsoa B'mayin Eino Misbatel. What if the sewage, the tsoa, the excrement, is mixed with water, so it does not become batel, Ele Imkein Hamayim Achurim She'ina Tsoa Nikabahem, V'davka She'in Kan Reach Ra. Unless you have two qualifications. It has to be that you cannot see the tzoa in the water because the water is dirty, so you can't see the tzoa, and that you can't smell it. But if you can still smell it, then one is not allowed to make a bracha. So it would seem that in that case, one should not make a bracha if their house is full of sewage, and you can't make a bracha in the house, so you're sort of stuck. Another question I got, someone had asked me, what if the state or the town, the county, was being run by a Jewish government that was trying to run things according to halacha? So there was a gas shortage, and we had to decide who gets gas first, right? So we made a decision, the state made a decision that doctors get to cut the lines, and some doctors were able to do that. Nurses get to cut the lines, people for medicinal purposes. What would the halacha say? Aside from doctors, obviously for pikuach nefesh, certainly we would let them cut the lines first and get gas first. Would there be any other way to determine who deserves to get gas first? So the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, in Hilchos Tzedakah, Sim Reishon Aleph, Sif Tes says, Hayu lefanav aniyim harbe. Let's say you have a lot of poor people that are all in need. And you don't have enough money for everybody. So there's a gas shortage. Not everyone's going to get gas. But everyone needs it. So who do you give to? So says the Shulchan Aruch, Maktim HaKoyim LeLevi, VaLevi LeYisrael, VaYisrael LeChalal, VaChalal LeShtuki, VaShtuki LeAsufi, VaAsufi LeMamzer, VaMamzer LeNasal, VaNasal LeGer, VaGer Lav LeShukhar. Well, that list starts with the Koyim, Levi, Yisrael, VeChulei, VeChulei. VaMed Var Mamurim, VeZman Sheim Shavim BeChachma. That's if they're equal in Chachma. VaHayim Mamzer Tamal Chachma, VeKoyim Gadol Amaretz, Mamzer Tamal Chachma Kodem. If you have a mamzer tamal chacham and a kohen gadol amaretz, even a mamzer tamal chacham is a tamal chacham. You would always come before the ama aretz. So maybe you'd say the same thing over here. That if we were able to call the shots, we would say, "Good, let the tamal chacham go first before anybody else." Says Rav Moshe, though, the Chumin of Rav Moshe Archaim Chalik Beis Simin Lamed Dalit. He says this kavod that we give to a tamal chacham, he says, versus the kavod that we give to a kohen, are fundamentally different types of kavod. When you give a kavod to a kohen, you're not giving kavod to the individual, that he deserves the kavod because of anything he did, because of his kishronos, his amelos, his anything. You're giving him kavod because you're trying to respect sheidat hakohuna. You're trying to respect the tzibur known as kohanim. When you give kavod to a tamal chacham, though, you're giving him kavod on a personal level. You're giving him kavod for what he is.
So it's on the Torah, you know.
Right, but his Torah Dilei, it's his Torah that he accomplished. So he says, it turns out that Tamal Chacham V'Kohen Einam Shavim B'Inyan HaKavod Shem Yichuvim Litin Lahem. It's not the same din. Dila Tamal Chacham Nosan HaKavod Lo Ba'atzno. For the Tamal Chacham, you're giving him the Kavod for what he's accomplished in Torah. Ula Kohen Nosan HaKavod La'Kuhuna Shabo. But for the Kohen, you're not giving the kavod to the Kohen, you're giving kavod to the Kahuna. And therefore he says, Shalainin Mila Haktin Talya, Di Imhu Davar Mikrek, Gon Bitstaka, Ulamila Hashab Tchila Bishne Shaolin, Shanitun Rakfeina Nashim Elu. When you have a choice between two individuals, Reuven and Shimon, they both need, I can give them both Tzedakah, It's not about the world. It's not about public policy. It's about, I have these two people. Who do I give first? So when it comes to something like that, so we look at the individuals, and the Talmud Chacham comes with, that's when we say Talmud Chacham wins. Because the Talmud Chacham, it's about the individual. So when it's a choice between two individuals, Talmud Chacham wins. But when you're making a public policy, says Ramosha, when you're making a public policy, and it's about the communal policy, so then you look at the communal maila of being a Kohen, the maila of Kahuna, which is a communal maila, versus the maila of Talmud Chacham, which is a person's individual accomplishment. So then the Kohen would come before the Mamzer Talmud Chacham, would come before Talmud Chacham. So l'chora, according to Rav Moshe, by Kriya Satori, he says, it's a dover kavua l'kol ha'olam. So that's why we are in the practice of giving who the first aliyah? We always give a Kohen the first aliyah. Why don't we give a Talmud Chacham the first aliyah? I'm told by Rav Avadia's minion, he's not a Kohen and he gets the first aliyah always anyway, because of this Talmud Chacham Kohen. But according to Rav Moshe, no, this is a public policy issue. This is about kahuna. So the Kohen gets the first aliyah. L'chora would come out that if you're a state that's trying to make a decision about rationing gas and who's going to get, who's not going to get, l'chora would turn out that the Kohen would come first and not the Talmud Chacham, because it's not about the individuals, it's about the communal policy. It's more like Kriyas HaTorah, yeah?
Not maybe, let's say, a love of the community.
Right.
That's not only for being the Chavi the Torah, the humans, let's say, but it's also from the community.
It's about the whole community. Maybe that could be argued. Another question someone asked me was about opening the mikveh during the day. Someone texted me on the Monday of the storm, the mikveh should be open now because later at night it's going to be for women to go to the mikveh, because later at night it's going to be dangerous. And Makom Sakana, we allow tevila during the day. So is that correct? So it happens to be in this case, in general, that may be correct. In this case, it was incorrect. Let me explain. The halacha generally is that a woman is not allowed to go to the mikveh during the day, she's only allowed to go to the mikveh at night. The reason she's not allowed to go to the mikveh during the day is really a Zava Gadola on the seventh day of her Shiva Nikiyim could go to the mikveh, Midar Raisa, she'd be allowed to go to the mikveh and she would become Tahora. The only thing is, if she were to go to the mikveh at 11 o'clock in the morning on the seventh day, sleep with her husband at 12 o'clock, and then see Dam at 1 o'clock, it would turn out that she violated Mr. Kari, so it would ruin her Lamafreya. Seeing Dam at 1 o'clock doesn't just make her Mikanu Laba, make her Tami Mikanu Laba, it would make her Tami Lamafreya. So Chazal said, okay, we're not doing this. We're not letting her go to the mikveh and risk it. Go to the mikveh during the day and risk it. We're going to wait till nightfall, 7 days are over. Now she can go to the mikveh, and whatever Dam she sees after that is only going to be Matami or Mikanu Laba, so it's going to be much less risky. She only goes to the mikveh after nightfall. What about on the eighth day, in the morning, the following morning? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishum Srach Bita. She can't go to the mikveh on the eighth day because the way a girl learns about the halachas of going to the mikveh is by seeing what her mother did. So a girl is always going to see her mother comes back during the daytime, and the girl's going to think, oh, you're allowed to go to the mikveh during the day, and she's even going to go on the seventh day. And the Shach says, even if you don't have a daughter, there's an olav gzeira, we don't allow going to the mikveh during the daytime. But all the posts can write, if it's very dangerous to go out at night, like during the first Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein was shooting Scud missiles at Israel every single night, the mikvahs, the rabbanut, allowed mikvahs to be open during the day and told women to go on the eighth day because it was too dangerous to go out at night. Now in Eretz Yisrael, very likely, you have to see if they're shooting more missiles at night than they are by day. I don't know if that's the case. But if they were shooting more missiles at night than they were by day, and it were dangerous to go out at night, and weren't as dangerous to go out during the day, so then you would imagine that people would be allowed to go to the mikveh during the day. And that would certainly be a viable public policy at this point. Why was this not the case by the hurricane? Because by the hurricane, Monday night was extremely dangerous. But if a woman had to go to the mikveh Monday night, you can't open up the mikveh on Monday day for her to go, right? You can't open the mikveh Monday day, because that's the seventh day. When do we allow Mishum Sakana? We allow her to go to the mikveh on the eighth day, Mishum Sakana. We would allow her to go on Tuesday, certainly not on Monday. So if anything, the question would have been, should we have closed the mikveh Monday night and opened the mikveh on Tuesday morning? But the truth is, Tuesday, once Tuesday night's going to be okay, There's no sense in having to go to the mikveh Tuesday morning if Tuesday night was still safe to go out. And Tuesday night happened to have been that it was safe to go out. So if you would have consecutive nights that were not okay with daytimes that were safe, so then you would open the mikveh during the daytime. But in this case, it just didn't make
each
sense.
Each woman's going to be different, though. So how are you going to, like...
What do you mean each woman's going to be?
I'm saying each woman is going to be counted. It's like each
right, each woman has her own count. So if a woman's leil tefillah is Monday night, say nachanami, she'll have to go Tuesday night. But Monday day, she can't go anyway. If her leil tefillah was Sunday night, well, then she should have gone Sunday night. Right? What's she waiting for Monday for? She should have, Sunday night was safe still. It happens to be that the mikveh here was opened on Monday night, and people, it was sakana. People went, but it was not smart. There. Many lost their cars by just parking the cars around the mikveh. It was not a great idea, I don't think. But okay, that was another shaila that was asked. Someone else asked, is there anything that, is there a bracha that you're supposed to say when you see the utter destruction, driving down the block and seeing people's entire homes on the sidewalk, you know, everything, just completely, you go visit a community, Bel Harbor, Long Beach, and just complete destruction. So this is a Gemara in Bracha, Staf Nun Dalit. That Al-Gshan Al-Basuros Tov Asomar Baruch HaTov HaMetiv Al-Basuros Ro Asomar Baruch Tayin Emes. That we make a Baruch Baruch Tayin Emes for bad news. We're used to saying that Baruch when someone dies. The Gemara says you say it on bad news. The Gemara Baruch HaSin Chesem Beis says not just any bad news. HaRoa Batei Yisrael B'Yishuvan Omer Baruch Meitzav Gvul Almano B'Chorbanan Omer Baruch Tayin Emes. If you see destroyed Jewish homes, you say Baruch Tayin Emes. Now the implication of that Gemara is we're talking about homes in Israel. But still, a destroyed Jewish home may warrant a Baruch Dayan HaEmes. A ruined life, people who lost everything, may warrant a Baruch Dayan HaEmes. I'm not sure if you would make B'Shem Malchus, but at least it seems that if it's really a major tsar, maybe it does warrant with Shem Malchus. I'd be nervous to give this psak myself. I would ask, someone bigger, but I would think that there's certainly strong basis to assume that there would be that there would be reason to make this bracha b'shem u'malchus. Okay, I guess we'll stop with those chats.